Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
For over a decade, from the 1980s and into the 90s, Spitting Image was compulsory Sunday night viewing. Creators Peter Fluck and Roger Law both attended the Cambridge School of Art. Indeed, Roger's archive from the show is now part of the Cambridge University Library. After the show ended, Roger moved from latex to ceramics, and on Thursday is in conversation with Kate Malone, one of Britain's leading ceramic artists. The online event is in support of Kettle's Yard. And Roger is on the line now. Good morning to you, Roger.
Good morning, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I'd like to talk about your move to ceramics and that online interview in a moment. But I've been thinking that Cambridge must have been pretty important to you for you to share your Spitting Image archive with the university a couple of years back.
Well, it was very good of them to take it, but it was taking up rather a lot of room, actually. There must have been about 2,000 puppets when we finished.
Oh, my goodness. So that was like the sum part of more than a decade, wasn't it, that Spitting Image was
on
our screens for?
No, I worked, if you count the pilot as well, it was about 14 years of my life, which is enough, I think.
That's a long time for any show. So what did they get? Did they get like a Mrs. Thatcher, a John Major?
Well, they have all the scripts. Yeah. They have all the scripts. There's 2,000 moulds. There's a lot more spin-offs, like the Thatcher teapot and the Reagan coffee pot, and all that will go to, they've got about 80 kilometres of shelving in Ely. So that's where I'll end up.
And the creative process, how did that work? There was the design of the puppets, but also presumably the consultation, if you like, for want of a better phrase, with the script writers to make sure that the puppet reflected the kind of direction of the character that they'd put on the puppet.
No, it was chaotic. We finally worked a way of doing it, but it was a craft process, everything done by hand, to a newspaper deadline. That's stupid. We didn't know what we were doing when we started, but somehow or other we muddled through.
That's a classic thing, isn't it? You don't, you don't really know. You can guess within a range as to what's going to be happening.
I might well have not done it if they'd explained to me what it would mean, you know. Anyway.
How many hours a day would you have been working on some of these? Presumably, just as a journalist, I sat in the newsroom for a really long hour.
Because we didn't know what we were doing. When we started, we were doing between 60 and 80 hours a week. And thank goodness we were much younger. That's all I can say.
That's a long old time. And Mrs. Thatcher, she was famously characterised as the man, almost, with a pinstripe suit. And I sometimes wonder that actually helped her electoral chances.
Well, I'm afraid a lot of the things we did it for didn't actually turn out that way. Norman Tebbit was quite proud of his leather jacket and truncheon.
Yeah.
And what can you do? But it's interesting the difference that the TV show makes. I mean, Kate Malone, who's talking with me at Kettle's Yard, did the great pottery throwdown, and it certainly brought her to the fore. It's really strange.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there was, the Bake Off kind of started it all, and then the pottery throwdown. I think there's been some, I forget what it's called now, but there's one based around artists, and I even saw Vic Reeves presenting. I'm trying to remember what it was called now. It involves flower arranging, for goodness sake, on Netflix.
No, we've all been locked up for months.
Well,
anybody
know.
Over 50.
It's
and
delusional,
people
really.
People have developed an interesting craft and art because they've got time to think about it. And it is, I have to say, I complain like hell, but it's jolly good fun to make stuff, you know. And that's why when the show was over, the only problem with having something as good and successful, I mean, that's a miracle for an artist, but they never want you to do anything else again. So I nipped off to China and took up ceramics.
How did you make that move? Because initially you went to Australia, I think, and there's a... I don't think I was particularly aware of this. An influence from, talking about Huawei in the news today, but an influence at least on the artistic side of China into Australia.
Yes, well, it's in the Southern Hemisphere, and so is China. And there are many, many Chinese living in Australia, and there'll be many more now. They're all falling out. But I was only in China for about 2 weeks when the art school where I had a studio had a student visit to China, and I was there for 6 weeks. And it was very strange because at that time it was a very different culture. But I got hooked. Anyway, pots are made out of clay, which is how Kate and I work. And so it wasn't a big jump to make from grotesque puppets to carving rather beautiful, strange creatures that I saw in Australia.
So the process, you make the pot, I guess, in a traditional way, and then you work on it further after that. I saw an illustration.
No, I take all my sketchbooks with me to China, and it's exactly the same as Spitting Image. Spitting Image was a workshop where we worked as a team to make the puppets. And the workshops in Jingdezhen, where the imperial pottery was based, is exactly the same. You go in the workshop and you work with other people. I draw all over the pot and they take the background out and then we carve the detailed work. It's not dissimilar.
So were you not in lockdown or semi-lockdown like the rest of us, would you be making a journey every once in a while to China to work with fellow artists, or have you got anything at the studio?
I used to go to China for about 12, 13 years for 3 months or 6 months a year to make things. And eventually I got myself a good London gallery and we sell them for considerably more money than I could possibly sell them here in North Norfolk. So I was very happy with that. But the last year or so, I've reverted to type, and I'm preparing puppets for a BritBox show, which will be global, and it's Spitting Image, circa 2020.
There's plenty in the news, I think, to work on. I can imagine all sorts of things. And BritBox, of course, is the kind of, it's like the BBC, ITV, Netflix, isn't it? Which they're putting together.
They stream it. But I think one of the programs, or two of the programs that we're doing this autumn, will go out on ITV. And it's been great fun. And quite frankly, with this lockdown nonsense and the virus, I think I'd have gone quietly mad without the pressure of having to make 50 puppets before the autumn.
Yeah, something to take your mind off everything. Now, Kate Malone. She's one of Britain's leading ceramic artists. You mentioned the great pottery throwdown. How did you meet her?
Well, we all worked out of the East End when I had my workshop because it was cheaper for space. And Kate was there too. And I got to know her. I mean, she's a force of nature, actually. There's absolutely no stopping her. You'd need a piece of 2x4 to stop her. And I was always very impressed with the work because it's completely, the best of it is completely over the top, rather like the puppets. And of course it's made in clay, which the puppets are. So we had that much in common. But I was very impressed with her energy. I mean, I work hard, but then she's quite a bit younger. She works much harder.
And on Thursday, you're going to be chatting with Kate as part of, I guess, ordinarily, I guess, you'd be
July, 7 p.m. And you can obtain the ticket through Eventbrite.
And I guess it's going to be a little slightly different because presumably you'll be in your studio in North Norfolk and Kate will be where she works out of and linked together with the people of Cambridge and beyond over Zoom or something similar.
Not a problem. I'm nearly 80 years old and we've made about 50 puppets on Zoom. Can you believe that?
That is astounding.
Everybody's, it's a dysphoria of talent. But somehow or other, with the help of a much younger person, the stuff comes in, you make the corrections, they go back, they send me it again. It's extraordinary. I wouldn't have thought it was possible, but then I'm that generation, really.
Yeah, but it's amazing what, yeah, it is amazing what technology has enabled us to do and will enable you to have a conversation with Kate tomorrow, as you mentioned, on Eventbrite and four Kettles Yard, which is a fantastic space in Cambridge, of course. It's a shame we can't really get into it at the moment.
Well, I think they really, I mean, it's, I went to Kettles Yard to Jim, to the museum before it turned into Kettles Yard as a student. We all went.
Mm.
And friends of Kettles Yard are trying to keep the place together under the circumstances. And Sally Knowles has organised this. And I hope they get a few people clocking in to see what we say.
I very much hope so too. Well, Roger, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. That event is on Eventbrite tomorrow, on Thursday, in support of Kettles Yard. And you can see both Roger and Kate Malone in conversation because of that. It is 18 minutes after 9 now.
We're live and local.
Cambridge 105 Radio.